Alright, this is Pure Decking, show number 575 for Thursday, August the 29th, 1980. Let's get the date right. 1831. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and forgetting to change the joke in my show notes. Literally, it says put joke here, dumbass. So, obviously, I forgot to do something. So, my pre-flight checklist is missing a step. Tonight, we have a Madman. What's up, Madman?
So long as it does have engage throttle and raise landing gear.
On the pre-flight checklist. Okay. Engage the landing gear on the pre-flight checklist.
No, raise it after you throttle up.
Pre-flight.
Ah.
I mean,
No, that could also be fun.
As long as you're not the one playing for the plane. And we have an RU. What is up, RU?
I didn't realize we were having a Boeing board meeting this morning.
I imagine that is productive.
That's when we're abandoning people in space, right?
Yeah. 9 months was meant to be 8 days. Dude.
They got to wait on SpaceX to come get them, but SpaceX just had one of their rockets sidelined, didn't they?
I'm not up on SpaceX at the moment.
I thought I saw something about one of SpaceX's rockets caught fire on the way down.
But I can just imagine the conversation, Mr. Musk. I know we don't like you at the moment, but can you go get our people back? How big a tax credit am I looking to get?
I could just see
that's him. How that conversation went.
No.
I just go, so how big of tax credits am I going to get?
Well, I mean, he already funds half his shit from the government anyways.
I know, so that's how that conversation would have gone. I think X is about to get banned in Brazil.
Yep, they gave him like a day to remove something, and
yeah,
you know, he's not big on removing stuff, so...
No, I hope he sticks with it. People in Brazil are going to be pissed off when Starlink gets shut down.
Well, then you've got the Telegram guy got arrested in France, too, for not moderating Telegram.
Yeah. That Emmanuel Macron's walking a very fine line right now.
Well, I think you're just, it's just globally a lot of people starting to crack down on open communications.
I mean... Freedom of speech is great when you're trying to overthrow governments, but once you've overthrown them and you've got your established buddies in there, yeah, you can't have any of that freedom of speech anymore.
Yeah, I imagine that would be the goal.
Well, that pretty much is the goal. Whoops. Free speech is always allowed when it's time to get somebody out, but... Once they're positioned in there in the power, they can't have anything said about them.
Can't have that now.
Look at the UK government, dude. They arrested an 11-year-old boy for offensively waving the Union Jack at police.
How do you offensively wave your national flag?
I don't know, man. And then you've got British establishment running around going, we can't have Oasis reform. You know, this is the worst thing ever. I'm like, why?
I can
why
think
are you
of a few
a band.
I can think of a few ways to offensively wave a flag, but since you said we're talking about a 12-year-old, I'm not making any of those jokes.
He's 11.
Oh, worse.
Yeah. it's some crazy fucking shit going on, man.
There are many ways a drunken redneck can offensively wave a flag. Most of them involve a lack of pants, but we're not making that joke about a kid.
I mean, the worst part about it, dude, they perp warped the 11-year-old for the cameras to see. Yeah.
Did they really?
Yep.
Good old 4chan link. That's never risky. Let's see here. Oh, geez, they put him in a... Wow.
Yeah, they didn't fuck around, dude. They swamped his house. And you know what, Mills? If it wasn't for 4chan, I doubt I'd even see that photo.
First Amendment's a hell of a thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, yeah. Since we're already talking about free speech, let's do this Facebook story.
I didn't know how many fucking stories we've got this week, because every story I threw up got shot down.
I've got five. I've got my six. I don't have a dojo, so we're not doing a dojo.
That's more on you than me in that one.
Well, that's true. That's true. But I do at least have some stuff for us to talk about. We'll see how quickly. If we burn through all these, I'll be pulling those links you sent me back out.
So my wasted week wouldn't have been in vain then.
Let's go with the first one here. It's from Financial Times. Mark Zuckerberg says White House pushed Meta over COVID-19 content. This is covered everywhere. I picked this one. I think it was at the top of one of the link lists. It wasn't too long, so when I read it on the, so I can read it fairly quickly. I mean, everybody's talking about this, so it's no surprise. Meta chief executive Mark Zuckerberg accused Biden administration of pressuring social media group to censor certain COVID-19 content during the pandemic and said he intended to be politically neutral this election cycle. Considering how much money Zuckerberg gave to Democrats the last couple of rounds, if he's actually being politically neutral, like not doing those donations and running those PACs.
I mean, it's not as much as FTX. I think that little shit fucker gets out of jail this year sometime.
I thought they weren't even done with all of his trials.
I don't know. I'm going to have to do a deep dive on it.
In a letter addressed to the White House Judiciary Committee Chair Jim Jordan, Zuckerberg wrote that senior Biden officials had repeatedly pressured Meta's team for months to censor some COVID-19 content, including humor and satire. Quote, "I believe the government pressure was wrong, and I regret that we were not more outspoken about it," unquote, he wrote in the letter, which was posted on X by the committee on Monday. That's... there's something about the letter from Mark Zuckerberg going on X and not a Facebook post that I just find ironic. Quote, "I feel strongly we should not compromise our content standards due to pressure from any administration in either direction, and we're ready to push back if something like this happens again," unquote. Now, obviously, he thinks Trump's going to win, and he's setting the stage of, we're not going to do it for Trump. But that's fine. He shouldn't. They shouldn't do it for anybody. Zuckerberg also reiterated that they would not make another contribution to support electoral infrastructure via the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, his philanthropic group. Past donations total more than $400 million and were made to nonprofit groups, including Chicago-based Center for Tech and Civic Life. And if you look into any of those, they're basically all Democratic election operations. I know they have names that sound a lot friendlier, but when you look into them, they're basically election operations. They were intended to make sure local election jurisdictions would have appropriate voting resources during the pandemic, he said. He added they had been interpreted as benefiting one party over the other. Because if you looked into it, they did. Quote, "My goal is to be neutral, not to play a role one way or the other, or even if appear to be playing a role, so I don't plan on making a similar contribution this cycle," unquote, Zuckerberg wrote. The comments mark an unexpected public concession from Zuckerberg that the White House had attempted to sway its moderation policies and enforcement processes a slight against Democrats in the lead up to the November election. Quote, "When confronted with a deadly pandemic, this administration encouraged responsible actions to protect public health and safety," unquote, a White House spokesperson said on Monday. Quote, "Our position has been clear and consistent. We believe tech companies and other private actors should take into account the effects their actions have on the American people while making independent choices about the information they present," unquote. Okay. Oh no, they totally chose to do that on their own. You have the CIA has an office in the Facebook headquarters. You think they get to make decisions on their own?
They have a corner office with windows. I mean,
it's a nice company you have there, Mark. It'd be a shame if something happened to it.
We're sorry we got caught. We'd do it again, but we got caught this time, and it'd be way too obvious if we did it again. We did sign our names to the, hey, everybody, we helped fortify the election with all these other, and we were proud of it. And, oh, fuck, the winds of change may be blowing, and I better fucking climb up on this rock. That's all it sounded like to me, dude.
Well, I've got some thoughts on this, which is why I'm talking about it, because it's a bit politics.
Like the fucking South Park BP thing. We're sorry.
Yeah, there's that. But I do actually have a thought of where I'm going with this, which is why I'm covering this, even though this is highly political. And normally I try to stay away from politics on Decking, so I don't want to get into the left versus right, even though I think I already have. Anyways, Jordan, top House Republican, has been leading a congressional investigation accusing the Biden administration, disinformation researchers, and social media platforms of colluding in order to muzzle Americans and conservative speech in particular. Comes amid a broad global debate over the extent to which platforms should prioritize free speech and online safety, fueled by a post by billionaire ex-owner Elon Musk, a self-declared free speech absolutist, and the weekend arrest of Telegram chief executive Pavel Durov in France over an investigation into alleged failures in the messaging app. Moderation failures. Let's read the important word there. Republican candidate. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I don't want to read the rest of this because it's all politics. But, so here's the thing. Facebook is basically saying, yes, we censored posts at the behest of the government. Now, the White House is saying, oh, no, they were making independent choices. Okay, come on.
And Facebook, the actual quote was, we were pressured, but the choice was our own. Well, that's very important to throw in there, because if they don't say the choice was our own, then they are stating they're acting as a government agent and can be sued. By throwing up the choice was our own, they're editors. And they have free speech as well, so they cannot be sued.
But it does bring into the question, do they have Section 230 protection if they're acting as editors? There are interesting legal implications all over this. That's my point. That's why I wanted to talk about it, because...
I would have thought the Facebook lawyers would have made it pretty watertight, dude.
Oh, they probably did. That's why, like Madman said, they've got language in there to keep it from getting too out of hand. But it's also still going to – I wouldn't be surprised if you see a series of lawsuits of people who were, had their accounts taken down or censored. I mean, they're not going to be very strong lawsuits, because it's hard to argue monetary damages on a Facebook, especially if you're not a massive following. But I'm betting you probably have some professionals and other people like that who could claim some, reputational damage because of that. So it'd be interesting to see, where these go, because do you have lawsuits saying, targeting the government, saying the government was, coercing Facebook to act as an agent so that they could censor speech? And is it therefore a First Amendment violation? Or, like Madman said, they're acting as an editor, which means you take away their Section 230 protection. There's some interesting implications here. This could go a lot of different ways. But like you said, I think this is Zuckerberg trying to cover his ass, seeing a change in the political winds.
Just in case the political winds change,
Oh, yeah.
He didn't bite the hand that he feeds,
So.
He wasn't critical of the administration. Yeah, I think this was just a quick try and cover my ass just in case shit changes.
Well, I certainly think that's part of it. But like I said, I think this could have some very interesting implications.
Well, since the Twitter buyout, conservatives aren't really bitching about Twitter much anymore. They're mainly bitching about Facebook. So I wonder if that's his angle.
Well, I'm sure he would like that to stop. I mean, because there's also the whole Biden laptop thing that they were censoring as Russian hacking. And then it's like, that was real. So, although I think Twitter got bit with that one too, didn't they? That was before the buyout, though.
That was before the buyout. And Twitter got bit with it too.
So,
I think everybody got their arm twisted for that one.
I just... Wish the government stay the hell out of what the networks are doing, because they don't.
Well, the big censorship isn't quite with the networks, or it isn't quite with the government pushing the networks. It's a lot of third parties being used for fact checking. And the third parties that they use for fact-checking are biased politically. So, if you're on, let's say, the right side of the aisle, perspective may be factually accurate, but just with the right slant. And you get deemed as disinformation or misinformation. Whereas the same story with a left slant isn't. So the safe content, they restrict the distribution of the right-leaning story.
Remember when these things, all these platforms were just kind of fun and politics wasn't all over them?
That was great. No. And Matt, man, I think you're referring to it as malinformation there, where yes, it is correct, but it's just politically incorrect.
It's not always just malinformation, and they do label it as misinformation.
Hey, man, these fucking leftist groups, they're expanding my vocabulary every day. I'm learning new words.
I wish they would call it what it is, a cognitive hazard. I want that warning label. I want them to show the content, and they can just put the warning label, cognitive hazard. I think that'd be
seriously
great.
Which is harsher, retard or neurodivergent? I just want to be retarded, thanks.
One's slow, the other's non-functional. Might get it eventually if you're retarded.
Could be worse. Could be worse. Could be neurodeviant.
Gross.
I don't know, guys. I mean,
just expands my vocab every day, dude. New words, they make up for shit.
It's just frustrating just how much this has seeped into every fucking thing.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. Anything else on that before we move on?
I'm pretty good. Didn't see it coming, but it didn't go far enough as far as I'm concerned.
I didn't like, see them admitting it. Yeah.
Like, I would have liked to have seen him read it out, confessed his sins, and then stepped off the stool with the rope around his neck live on TV. Would have been great.
Or just, you know, announcing his retirement to go fuck off, to his fuck off compound on Hawaii. It's like, you know what? This shit's too much of a pain in the ass. You all deal with it. I'm going to go over here and be happy.
I mean, he doesn't look happy.
The next in line's even worse than him.
Oh, I haven't looked into it. Who's the next in line on Facebook?
I'd some have to pull it up
Jeep.
Again.
But, it'd be some Pajit.
I think Zuckerberg actually somewhat likes free speech. He just doesn't know who to have moderate his shit.
Well, the gag of it is, a lot of these guys, when they, you know, even Jack Dorsey, when he started Twitter and you know, of course, MySpace, and then he got Tom Guy, all of these people were huge free speech. I mean, basically everybody who was starting internet companies in the 90s was huge on free speech and independent. And
well, they knew that's what it took to launch. You couldn't launch a platform today that says to allow things on it, but here's the list of shit you can't do. You know what I mean? Nobody's going to flock to a platform like that. What you do, you throw it out there, you know, you catch all the fish, and then they're stuck. They don't know where to go.
Well, and again, this goes back to something I've said before, that I think a lot of these people, when they first started out, it was a fresh market. There wasn't a lot of competition. I mean, yeah, there was competition, but there wasn't, you know, it wasn't like 100-year established companies. Like, if you try to get in the automotive industry today, if you're not already a billionaire, good fucking luck.
Well, even if you are a billionaire, it's still incredibly hard.
Yeah. There's a lot of other industries you can get into despite there being huge established players. I mean, you can spin up a bank. You can do it. It's not easy, but it's possible. Not nearly as impossible as trying to spin up a new automotive manufacturer. You can spin up a new manufacturing plant. I mean, the environmental regs make it damn near impossible, but you can still actually do it. I guess building a nuclear power plant's about the only one you really can't do these days, just because it's so regulatory locked down. It's like, it's not illegal, but it might as well be. We're as nuts as they've made it. But that one's, that's more government regs than it is just the market locking people out. I'm trying to think of another industry besides automotive that's really locked out like that. Although the reason automotive is locked out like that is largely because of government regs, mainly requiring you to work through dealerships and
safety regulations too, Morps.
Yeah.
Like, you can't slap together just a regular car these days. It has to have all sorts of fucking bells and whistles and crumple zones. And
that's why the cheapest new car starts at $30,000 is because half it's of that ridiculous. Is just meeting those regs.
I would have thought if we were genuinely trying to be sustainable in everything we do, you wouldn't be allowed to scrap a car if it was still in working order. You know, you sell it somewhere and they recondition it, then resell it. That to me would have made more sense, but.
Well, if we're gonna go down this road, I'm just gonna throw this out there. I think the majority of these movements don't actually have an ideological core. They don't have that core set of beliefs and tenets. They don't have this is our goal. This is what we want. They might say they do. They might even have some fluff that they say is the core goal. I don't think they actually have one, because, like you said, if they did, you wouldn't be allowed to scrap a car. They wouldn't be talking about cap and trade when it comes to carbon emissions. It'd just be cap. And it'd be fairly restrictive.
Like, you know, the auto industry is pretty close to, I really enjoy it. And that just always, to me, seemed really fucking stupid, was to just crush a car that, you know, was from the 70s when, hell, you could throw some brand new running gear in it because that car model's still manufactured today, but just to the newer standards, you could put some of the newer tech in there. It wouldn't take much.
Or you
because there's so much bloody room in the engine bay in those old things.
You could probably
Do it.
And even if it was beyond repair, you could probably part it down. You could probably pull a lot of useful shit still out of that and use it somewhere else as opposed to just crushing it.
As someone who did a lot of heavy modifications in the 90s and early 2000s on cars from the 60s and 70s, I'm telling you, it's goddamn easy to stick a 2000 model engine that's even two extra cylinders from a four, say a straight six, into an old Toyota.
Well, hell, you're one of these.
The running gear still matches.
Well, I mean, if you're one of these people that hardcore believes that electric cars are the future, there are channels where people take classic cars and put electric, you know, motor and battery in them. So it's not like it can't be done. You'd think that would be a huge thing of getting old cars and retrofitting them in with the modern stuff, but it's not.
From what I understand, turning an older car into an electric car is actually quite a fucking nightmare.
Well, yeah, that's why the YouTube videos are interesting, because they have to reworking the frame.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's near impossible. It can be done, but
it's a lot of work.
A lot of work when you could just go get a secondhand reconfigured engine and drop that in. But as I said, most of the Toyotas, most of the Mazdas, all those 70s cars, the running gear is almost still identical today.
Well, I mean, and moving on to other examples, the reason I have never bought into the whole environmentalist movement, very simple, compact fluorescent light bulbs.
Yeah.
Because when they were pushing those, LED lights existed. LEDs were always more efficient. Now, they were way more expensive at the time, but they were always more efficient, cleaner, used a lot less power. But
didn't have mercury in them.
Didn't have fucking mercury in them. And yet, even though LEDs existed, they pushed those fucking compact fluorescents for a decade. Now, you want to tell me you believe in efficiency and you're pushing that shit as opposed to going straight to LED? Really?
It's the same with the throwaway in the tech there, Morps. I think you should all go to one giant warehouse. Every city should have one that all the stuff gets sorted and placed into giant fucking bins. And every Saturday and Sunday, it's open to the public. And you just pay what you think it's worth.
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of...
You know what I mean? Like Fry's Electronics, where you walk in.
early Core 2 stuff. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Like, and that would ease, too, with people needing tech for schools and stuff who can't afford it. You know, you'd have a couple of dudes there who are heavily tech-orientated. You tell them what you want. They'll build you a rig right then and there.
Yeah, grabbing parts out of the bins. Yeah, here. Exactly. Throw Chrome OS on it. Like, yeah, throw the fucking Google OS on it. It's fine. It'll
this
run.
This is Billy. He's 13. He'd like an average gaming machine for his bedroom. We can't really afford it. Yeah, and so they smack together, you know, an old XP machine or something like that.
Loaded up with freeware, sure, yeah.
Exactly. So,
yeah, I don't think a lot of these groups actually have, like I said, those core ideals. I think they latch on to fads, and they push the fad. Now, that's not every group, but a lot of them. So, obviously, you'll be able to pick an example and put, well, what about this? Or what about that? And they'll go both ways politically, right? So don't get me wrong. I'm saying, but yeah, a lot
dude,
of these
this isn't even a political thing.
They're not. They're just...
This isn't even a political thing. This is just about creating a world I want to live in. You know what I mean? I'd love to still be able to go to a wrecking yard and pick up parts or just have a wander through and, you know, you'll never understand the joyfulness of being around, you know, cars stacked five high, you know, strong winds climbing up on top of them.
Well, the thing is, you used to be able to go to like a Goodwill and a few other stores like that and pick through some of the used shit and find some really cool things. These days, they got clothes. That's about it. Everything else?
Yeah, dude, they stopped taking the book. I used to go get a lot of good books there. Like, because they would never really sort through shit. They'd just stick it out on the floor. Every now and then, you come across a first edition or something that was banned in, like, 1950s, but there it is, just sitting there.
Well, you used to have people who would, like, I mean, fuck, I'd go to Goodwill looking for old tech that was worth a damn. You know, because you'd find stuff there that was actually cool to have, and most of that's gone. Mainly because you do have people there who grab it to flip on eBay and shit like that, but still.
Late 90s, I was hitting up all the secondhand stores for cartridges for Sega. They're all like 50 cents a cartridge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I just massed a huge collection of Sega and Nintendo stuff, cartridge-based.
So... Yeah, I mean, a lot of that stuff is just gone, and it's like even some of the cooler shit. Like, you used to be able to find like old leather briefcases and luggage and shit like that. That was actually cool in places like that, and you know, get some of that secondhand stuff and put it to use, and that's all gone too.
Oh, I got my trench coat from a Goodwill. It's the best piece of clothing I own. You know, it was like $10.
So.
Anyway, let's push on.
let's go to something a little bit more. South Korea faces deep fake porn emergency.
Wait, how do they get the internet? Do they have the internet now?
Just the headline. Admittedly, I got it because I thought the headline was hilarious. How do you have a porn emergency?
Well, we need to talk to Europe. They deal with sexual emergencies every day.
That's not what this is. This is actually...
No, I know. Is it of the Dialita?
It's South Korea. I think all of their politicians are now starring in pornos. Please tell me that's the truth.
Maybe. South Korea's president has urged authorities to do more to eradicate the country's digital sex crime epidemic amid a flood of deepfake pornography targeting young women. Authorities, journalists, and social media users recently identified a large number of chat groups where members were creating and sharing sexually explicit deepfake images, including some of underage girls. Deepfakes are generated using artificial intelligence, often combine the face of a real person with a fake body. South Korea's media regulator is holding an emergency meeting in the wake of the discoveries. You just now noticed this shit?
Did South Korea just get the internet yesterday? They're noticing there's pornography on there? Fake pornography? Nobody tell them about Motherless. Like, that's even a good website anymore, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Photoshop has been a thing since the early days. South Korea President Yoon Suk-yeol on Tuesday instructed authorities to thoroughly investigate and address these digital sex crimes to eradicate them, unquote. Quote, recently deepfake videos targeting an unspecified number of people have been circulating rapidly on social media, unquote. President Yoon said at a cabinet meeting, quote, the victims are often minors and the perpetrators are mostly teenagers, unquote. So, I mean, okay. Leave the kids alone. For fuck's sake, leave the kids alone.
Yeah, I can't support the doing it to kids things, but
when you say it's mostly teenagers, you do know this is like going to be like high school kids, like, oh, look, there's the popular cheerleader and then doing the thing, right?
Oh, yeah, this is just edgelord shit, right?
Yeah.
This is just because they can. They're a far bigger thing. Well, I don't know. How is South Korea for crime these days?
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So I can't criticize them on it. But, stay away from the kids. Have at it, edgelord boys. I don't care.
But the whole stay away from the kids would be stopping them from making fake porn of the cheerleader and then spreading it around the internet. So the cops going after the pornographers are them attempting to keep them away from the kids.
The spate of chat groups linked to individual schools and universities across the country were discovered on the social media app Telegram over the past week, mainly used. Users, mainly teenage students, would upload photos of people they knew, both classmates and teachers, and others would turn them into sexually explicit deep fake images. The discoveries...
Are we sure this isn't a hit piece?
No.
Telegram?
It's from the BBC. Really?
I don't trust BBC. I was checking that it's not a hit piece on the dude that's arrested in France.
Not yet. It's mostly just acknowledging that South Korea has put out the order to try to stop it.
Sorry, it's a catastrophic emergency in South Korea. Telegram, we arrested the Telegram guy for not locking Telegram down. You know what I mean?
Because, I mean, you stopped me literally before the discoveries followed the arrest of the Russian board founder of Telegram, Pavel Durov, on Saturday after it was alleged that child porn, drug trafficking, and fraud were taking place on the encrypted messaging app. South Korea has a dark history of digital sex crimes. In 2019, it emerged that men were using a Telegram chat room to blackmail dozens of young women into performing sex acts in a scandal known as Nth Room. The group's ringleader, Cho Yoon-bin, was sentenced to 42 years in jail. Online deepfake sex crimes have surged, according to South Korean police. A total of 297 cases were reported in the first 7 months of the year, up 180 from the whole year. Whole of last year, and up 160 in 2021. Teenagers were responsible for more than two-thirds of the offenses in the past 3 years. The Korean Teachers Union, meanwhile, believes more than 200 schools have been affected in the latest string of incidents. The number of deep fakes targeting teachers has surged in the past couple of years, according to the Ministry of Education. Man, schools must be different over there. I don't remember many teachers going through school that I would have wanted deep fakes of.
Me either, man, but this is just edgelord shit from kids. Yeah, granted, it's a little disturbing, but no different.
Yeah. You know. Park Jin-hyung, a women's rights activist and former intern leader of the main opposition Democratic Party, said the government needed to declare a national emergency in response to South Korea's deep fake porn problem. Quote, deep fake sexual abuse material can be created in just 1 minute, and anyone can enter the chat room without any verification process, unquote, Ms. Park wrote on X. Quote, such incidents are occurring in middle schools, high schools, and universities across the country, unquote. Okay, middle school's a little much. To build a healthy media culture, unquote, President Yoon said young men need to be better educated. Quote, although it is often dismissed as just a prank, it's clearly a criminal act that exploits technology to hide behind the shield of anonymity, unquote, he said. Korea's media regulator is meeting on Wednesday to discuss how to tackle this latest crisis, but opponents of the government have questioned whether it's up to the job. Quote, I don't believe this government, which dismisses structural gender discrimination as a mere personal disputes, can't effectively address these issues, unquote. Bae Bok-ju, a woman's rights activist and former member of the Minor Justice Party, told the AFP news agency. Before coming into office, President Yoon said South Korea women did not suffer from systemic gender discrimination, despite evidence to the contrary.
I think South Korea discovered feminism about 10 years ago, and it's running rampant.
Well,
I'm not up on my South Korean politics, but I do remember seeing something like that.
So, like I said, stay away from the fucking kids. That's a little much. But deepfakes gets into this weird thing where it's...
I mean, it gets straight into the ears drawing child pornography.
I was going to say stay away from the kids. We've done this a million times.
Yeah. Like, is deepfake pornography actually pornography? Well,
it's not actually a photo of the person. It's an approximated photo of the person. And I mean, if somebody draws it with a pencil on a piece of paper, is that? Well.
Yeah, there is a difference.
Yeah.
Yes, there is, and we've tried to hash it out, and
I don't know the answer to that.
And we just go around in circles every time.
I don't know the answer. Just stay away from the fucking kids.
Be more creative. Let's start making deep fake animal pictures or something, you know? Something funny. Like, I saw a xenomorph that was colored and looked like at the Frog yesterday. Now that was funny.
That's what I want to see AI generated image of, is of Muppets versus aliens.
Yeah, I find that stuff far more creative than, you know, ooh, a deep fake nude chick. Well, who cares?
I mean, there's plenty of
boy on the planet.
Yeah, but you don't need to deep fake it, man. I've been on the internet too. It's everywhere. Can't escape it.
That's because we've decided that porn's acceptable. Go back to it being shameful.
I never accepted it. Okay.
Next article is from Ars Technica. Hackers infect ISPs with malware that steals customers' credentials. Now, the reason this one's interesting to me is because they're actually doing the upstream thing. They're actually getting into the ISP to get users' data and not getting onto the users' machines themselves.
That's interesting.
It's interesting because a lot of this stuff should be going through SSL tunnels, so the ISP shouldn't be able to do that. But so now I'm kind of curious. Malicious hackers, likely working on behalf of the Chinese government, have been exploiting a high severity zero-day vulnerability that allowed them to infect at least 4 U.S.-based ISPs with malware that steals credentials used by downstream users, researchers said Tuesday. The vulnerability resides in Versa Director, a virtualization platform that allowed ISPs and managed service providers to manage complex networking infrastructures from a single dashboard. Researchers from Black Lotus Labs, the research arm of security firm Lumen, said. The attacks, which began no later than June 12th and are likely ongoing, allowed the threat actors to install VersaMem, the name Lumen gave to a custom web shell that gives remote administrative control to the Versa Director systems. The administrative control allowed VersaMem to run with the necessary privileges to hook the Versa authentication methods, meaning the web shell can hijack the execution flow to make it introduce new functions. One of the functions VersaMem added included capturing credentials at the moment an ISP customer enters them and before they are cryptographically hashed. Oh, that's sad. That's doing it wrong. For the record, when you're entering credentials into a web-based system, the hashing should be happening on the client side. Now, that usually means JavaScript, but the hashing should be happening before it ever leaves the user's browser. Just saying. Once in possession of the credentials, the threat actors work to compromise customers. Black Lotus didn't identify any of the affected ISPs, MSPs, or downstream customers. CVE 2024-39-39717, as the zero day is tracked, is an unsanitized file upload vulnerability that allows for the injection of malicious Java files that run on the Versa systems with elevated privileges. Damn! That's a hole. It's like, yeah, here, just take this Java file, go run it. Fuck. Versa patched the vulnerability Monday after Lumen privately reported it earlier. All versions of VersaDirector prior to 22.1.4 are affected. To fly under the radar, the threat actors wage their attacks through compromised small office and home office routers. Yeah, that's normal. Given the severity of the vulnerability, the sophistication of the threat actors, and the critical role of VersaDirector servers and networks, and the potential consequences of a successful compromise, Black Lotus Labs considers this exploitation campaign to be highly significant, unquote, Tuesday's report said. No shit.
They can get all of your customer info. Yeah, that would be significant.
I suspect, yeah, this stuff is running on top of Tomcrat. That's kind of what I expect. So this is going to be... this is going to be your ISP's email. A lot of people use the email provided by their ISP. So, things like that. They've actually got the report on here. I'm not going to go into it because it's basically talking about how there's a port listening that they were able to upload the Java file to, which is running on top of Tomcat, and then they could access it and run it. So that AV wasn't detecting it. So they're pretty sure, you know, they've got evidence. They say they have evidence of... Chinese hackers using it. Attribution is hard.
I always question how they know that.
Generally,
are you sure they're not Russian hackers or American hackers? Honestly, Madman, the
way they usually do it is when they get their hands on the malware sample, which is usually not that hard. You just grab one of the infected machines and pull it. They decompile it and look for strings in the code, and if the strings are in Russian, they generally say it's Russian hackers. If the strings are in Chinese, guess what? They say they're from China. That's a lot of the ways they do it. Now, the gag of it is that a lot of these groups sell their malware packages.
I was going to say, you can buy shit from anywhere, man.
Attribution is hard, okay? That's the point I want to make. So when they say, oh, it's the Chinese government, that's going to be an educated guess. Now, I'm not going to say they're wrong, but I'm going to say they don't know that for certain. I'm going to say they suspect it. There's probably other things that if they get a hold of an infected device that's doing the attack and don't shut it down, you can sometimes watch the traffic and sometimes you can trace it back and see where it's coming from. It depends on what they're jumping through. Since they were mostly doing compromised routers through the attacks, they would have had to grab one of those routers and see where the CNC is. And even that's not really a guarantee. North Korea goes and sends their people all over the fucking world before they do their attacks because they don't, they don't want the attacks coming from North Korea for political reasons, but two, they don't really have the infrastructure in North Korea. So this is going to be services that we're running for the ISP, but since a lot of people use their ISP's email, that's going to be one of the big ones. Also, since they were inside the Versa system for these ISPs, that's potentially the billing systems. So there's also a question of, of course, credit cards and things like that. So they get into it, but you can read the rest of the article on Ars Technica. If you want to see the details of how the attack work, it's kind of interesting because they basically found the admin port at 4566 and basically figured out where they could inject their own JSP file and get Tomcat to run it. So once they did that, whoops. So, and it was of course not detected by AV, which not really surprising given what it was. Anyways, it's kind of interesting to me to see the upstream attacks as opposed to, the end user stuff. Because, the classic compromised router, desktop, participating in the botnet is the bread and butter of these groups. But seeing them going after the upstream provider rather than just directly is kind of interesting to me.
Yeah. Sorry,
Mavis. And if it's coming from their admin server, I wonder how many things would catch that unless you just... admins shouldn't be doing that.
that gets really hard to do in companies because, of course, they don't resource that kind of monitoring, right?
That's what I was going to say. You'd have to actually be watching for that live.
So I actually have a really good example of this from my day job. I don't want to get into specifics because this is current. I have a script that can do some very interesting things to a banking app. And if I was 10% more evil, I could be doing all of the wire fraud. Now, here's the thing. When that script runs, given what it does to the database, my boss should be getting phone calls saying, hey, what's Morps doing? Why is he doing this? Somebody should be asking a question when I run that script.
Yeah, but you're talking about a tool, Morps.
Yes, I am.
It's neither good nor bad. It's only how it's used.
That's correct.
Yeah, the way he's using it, somebody should be asking, what's he doing?
That's correct.
Like, if I'm plinking with my rifle, no one cares. If I'm going store to store through a mall and being it into people, questions should be asked and cops should be called.
The point, though, I'm making is that it wouldn't take very much effort to take the existing tool that I've already built and make a slight modification to it to do some very bad things. And I'll tell you guys off show what it is. Well, hell, I can actually tell you what it... I can dump out every password, unencrypted, clear text. I don't. Yeah. I have the script manipulate things in memory and never actually write it out. But it wouldn't take much to change that.
That's a flaw that you should tell whoever's in charge of that system. Here's the flaw I found.
Oh, they
perhaps
know.
You should fix it.
They know. They know. That's been an ongoing long conversation. It's a thing. But the short version being what I'm doing to that database to do that script, somebody should be asking questions. And they don't. And I finally got an answer as to why. And they said, well, you're on the security team. We whitelisted your account.
I'm like, but you're now an insider threat. You're the biggest insider threat.
I've got an account in one of these networks that has access to basically every fucking thing, and they whitelisted it from alerts. Mad.
Let's tell everybody what sort of car you drive, madman. You know, hopefully you've got your thumbs next week. The cartel doesn't take them. Yeah.
It's a Chrysler LeBaron. Why do you ask? No, I'm kidding. Some poor asshole's going to get it.
That's what you need to watch. I mean, I could cost my company shit tons of money with what all I have access to. That's one reason whenever I do something weird, they ask, why are you doing this?
See, the
this
point
isn't normal. And they're like, well, here's why. Here's the email chain saying I should do it. You okayed this last week. Leave me alone.
And the response should be, when you have all the evidence of why you did what you did, okay, cool, thanks. That should be the end of it.
They're like, I remember now. Yeah, you're solving that problem. Cool. But they should not. I would like to think employees are trustworthy. Employees are people.
A madman in my world, they should be asking the question, hey, we're seeing this. Where's your ticket? Why are you doing this? And you should be able to answer the question. And the fact that you're annoyed by it is amusing to me, because that means the system's actually working.
Yes.
But in my case, because they whitelisted me on some of these networks, it's like, you did what? I mean, what if somebody gets my what if somebody guesses my password? Or if I'm drunk?
Snatches you up.
Or I have a really bad day at a casino and decide to sell the access for cash. I mean,
you want to do a pump and dump on a crypto scam that you're working on.
Let's just say I have a really bad day and go Joker.
All employees are trustful until they're not. Like, that's the only statement you make there. And unless you're going to have an off-site security team running down your own people and double-checking their backgrounds and shit like that, you're not going to stop an insider threat.
We do! That's the gag of it!
I'm going to say most of them are stopped, but you don't... Oh, whoever whitelisted you's an idiot.
That's what I said. Because I was asking
this
team.
Guy that left you with like unfettered access to my wallet because I never locked the sucker up when we were together. But I wouldn't whitelist you, and you're my friend.
I went to my boss. I'm like, I'm sorry, you should be getting all these questions. And they said, oh, they're not. She said, oh, they're not asking me anything. I'm like, what? What do you mean? What? And we start talking to that team, and they start digging, and they figure out that it's like, wait, you did what? It's like, I am telling you I should be generating alerts. I mean, yeah, okay, fine, I'm proving I'm not the bad guy by doing that, but that's not the point!
The point is, the next dude could be the bad guy.
Or I could have a bad day and be go Joker. I mean, come on. It'd have to be a really bad day, but it could happen.
I mean, somebody could show up with enough zeros on a check. I mean,
could be kidnapped by Sasquatch and forced to do so at, I don't know what weapon Sasquatch used. Spear point? Machine gun? I don't know. What do they have?
Really giant turds?
Thermonuclear weapons? A Sasquatch could have a nuke. I don't know.
Hey, we some got one could more be story.
Yeah, we'll do this, and then I've got another one we might run through, depending on how quickly. This one's from The Hill. OpenAI, anthropomorphic reach AI safety research agreement with feds. Leading artificial intelligence companies, OpenAI and Anthropic, have signed agreements with the U.S. government for their AI models to be used for research, testing, and evaluation, the National Institute of Standards and Technology announced Thursday. As a result of the agreement, the U.S. AI Safety Institute would be allowed access to the company's major new models before and after they are released publicly, the NIST said in a release. The deal seeks to increase research on the capabilities and risks of AI as well as the best ways to prevent the risk. The Institute intends to also give feedback to OpenAI and Anthropic on possible safety improvements per the NIST. Quote, safety is essential to fueling breakthrough technological infinite innovation. Who the fuck? With these agreements in place, we look forward to beginning our technical collaboration with Anthropic and OpenAI to advance the science of AI safety, unquote. Elizabeth Key, director of U.S. AI Safety Institute, said in a statement, safety is not, okay, I'm going to stop right there. Safety is not essential to the fueling breakthrough technological innovation. Otherwise, if safety was key to it, we would have never had the fucking airplane. Have you seen those videos of people trying to get them to work before the Wrights figured it out?
We pump natural gas into houses.
Yeah.
Innovation. Yeah, safety's not the big thing.
Yeah, safety third, people. Come on. Quote, these agreements are just the start, but they are an important milestone as we work to help responsibly steward the future of AI, unquote. The agreement comes as AI companies face increasing scrutiny from the government and lawmakers over the safety of their models. The AI Safety Institute was launched within the Department of Commerce last year as part of President Biden's sweeping executive order on AI safety, risks, and preserving of data privacy. Prior to serving as the lead of the Institute, Kelly served as an economic advisor to Biden. OpenAI, maker of ChatGPT, is also part of the AI Safety Institute Consortium, which is under the umbrella of the AI Safety Institute. Other tech companies in the consortium include Microsoft, Google, Apple, Meta. Some government agencies and academic institutions are part of the group. So, basically, they're giving the government first dibs at the AI models through this institute, and reading between the lines a little bit, sounds like the government might get a say in what these things, well, how these things might be weighted, censored, utilized. I don't know, pick a word.
Yeah, but we always knew that.
So.
Have you looked to see how much funding the government puts into these?
I'm sure it's a lot.
I think they're just trying to get their money back and manipulate people.
That could be. All right. I mean, anything else on that? I just found it interesting that they get first crack at the new models. That's just interesting. It's not surprising, just interesting. And finally, last story I have from tonight is from Torrent Freak. Did you know someone selling dodging streaming boxes or pirate IPTV streams in Ireland? The anti-piracy group FACT, in a partnership with Crime Stoppers, would like you to report this activity. These snitch initiatives are not widely embraced by the public, no shit, but with a 6-week social media push, the campaign aims to identify new enforcement targets. They're opening a snitch line for piracy sites in Ireland.
That's ridiculous.
I don't even need to read the fucking story. It's just, I mean, that's it. Yeah, they're setting up a snitch line. Now, and they know, oh, there's no bounty. They're not paying people, by the way. It's just purely a snitch line. So
that's whenever you piss off your neighbor, they're going to shit on you.
Yeah, that's all it is. Is it's going to be a way to abuse people or if you're a competing service. That's all it's going to be.
So I think they still have, they have the same TV tax as Britain, don't they?
I don't know. I would assume so. But
you're not paying your TV tax, and you're watching the wrong Netflix. You can't watch American Netflix.
Yeah. Just from the article here, to address the ongoing problem, anti-piracy group Fact has teamed up with Crime Stoppers charity to launch a new social media campaign. Instead of simply warning the public, it's calling on people to speak up and report piracy predators. Peddlers 100% anonymously. Quote, running over 6 weeks on Facebook and Instagram, the campaign aims to gather intelligence on individuals or groups involved in advertising or selling illegal streaming subscriptions, modified fire sticks, or so-called dodgy boxes. So if somebody sells you a box and you're not happy with it, you go report them to these assholes. Whether or not there is even illegal, it's just like, yeah, this Roku sucks. Fuck them. Just go report whoever sold it to you.
Yeah. Start reporting the BBC.
Yeah, really. I mean, I hope these guys got trolled into the ground. I hope they got fucking trolled into the ground. That is the dumbest shit. You know, yeah, go narc on the pirate sites. Really? You really think that that's going to do anything? That's all I got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer Decking every Thursday. Galaxy 15 radio site, the BBS, which I admit I forgot to check tonight before I did the show. Whoops. In the IRC tonight, Al Hazard, Psychros, Madman, myself, Sardonyx, and she. Madman, closing thoughts.
Many remakes should not happen. Mainly anything that deals with an all-girl fight club. Fuck Hollywood.
I mean, are they going to be, like, wearing bikinis and in a mud pit?
I just want to see how they're going to do Bob. Bob has zipper tits. You don't know what zipper tits are. Look it up yourself. I'm done for the day. Hit the buttons.
All right. Fine. Hit the right button.
During this transitional zombie apocalypse, your satisfaction is very important to us.
God hates Australia.
I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
Man, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.